Peacock by Nikolai Leskov, translated by Maria Kay, editing by Rebecca McFarlane Kyle, narrated by Jerry Seymour. Nikolai Semyonovich Leskov, 1831-1895, was often referred to as, quote, the most Russian of all Russian writers, who knew the Russian people deeper and broader than anyone else, and presented as they truly were. D.P. Sviatopolk Mirsky. Leskov was born in the family of a criminal investigator and spent his early childhood in the city of Orel. After his father had a falling out with his superiors and left service, the family moved to the village of Panino, where the future writer received his first introduction to the common language and folklore. At the age of 10, Leskov started school, but was such a poor student he only completed 2 grades in 5 years. His natural curiosity and restless temperament clashed with the routine, boredom, and emphasis on memorization by rote so prevalent in the old-fashioned Russian schools. In 1847, Leskov went to work at the same office where his father used to work, receiving several promotions, which enabled him to provide support to his family after his father's death in 1848. In 1849, Leskov asked to be transferred to Kiev, where he attended lectures at the university, studied Polish, religion, philosophy, and icon painting. In 1857, Leskov went to work for his aunt's husband, an Englishman by the name of Scott. While he disapproved of the company's practices, he credited the time he spent working there with the tremendous practical experience he accumulated, as well as the knowledge of various branches of industry and agriculture. The company's business required Leskov to travel extensively all around Russia, which enabled him to study in greater depth the language and everyday life of various regions. In 1859, Leskov wrote his first serious non-fiction piece, documenting the wave of rebellions that swept through the Russian wineries, and exposing the disastrous state of Russian agriculture in general, winemaking in particular. Once his uncle's business closed in 1860, Leskov returned to Kiev and devoted himself entirely to journalism and literature. From that point on, and until his death from asthma in 1895, Leskov's life was saturated with studying every aspect of people's lives in Russia and putting it on the page in the form of articles, brochures, novels, and fables. Sadly, due to the unfashionable subject matter, frequent attacks against the government for its failure to address the many problems and hardships of the people, praises of known public rebels, and exposures of bribery and corruption permeating all levels of the government, Leskov's books were either severely censored and abridged, or barred from publication altogether. Leskov himself acknowledged the publication process became an ongoing battle that took a daily toll on his health. Leskov died in 1895 in St. Petersburg. There was one event that brightened his last years. Despite the opposition from the government censors, Leskov's complete works were compiled and published in 1893. Once, I was guilty of a minor violation of the strict monastery rules at Balam. Those dwelling upon this stern cliff frown upon idle walks. No matter where a distant visitor had come from, and how great is his desire to familiarize himself with the island, he cannot indulge in this tremendous pleasure. I say tremendous, because the island is truly beautiful, and its landscapes are splendid. Customarily, every pilgrim at Balam practices obedience. He must go to church, pray, take meals, then work, and finally rest. No time is allotted for walks and contemplation of nature. However, one time, I managed to walk around the entire island in one night in the company of 3 men and 2 ladies, and forever capture in my memory the divine landscape comprising in the pale half-light of the northern summer night the wild cliffs, dark ravines, and quiet settlements of the Russian Mount Athos. The settlements are particularly lovely, with their imperturbable silence. An Annunciation settlement on the islet of Cernachan is the most striking of them all. It is populated by hermits, who find the general severity of Balam life insufficient. They retire to Annunciation settlement, where the overseers guard their seclusion against any invasion by secular men. People retired from the world burn their candles here, even as they tirelessly pray for the world. All is eternal Lent here, eternal silence and prayer. Not knowing the direction of the Balam paths, we came to the strait separating Cernachan from the main island, and, captivated by the thick ferns with which the local bay was overgrown, sat down to rest and talk about people who had chosen this obscure location as the place for their pious, contemplative lives. "What sort of people, with what powers and what past, come here to bury themselves alive?" one of my companions exclaimed. "I cannot imagine them as anything other than some sort of..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?